This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. President Nixon's environmental record is one of his signature domestic achievements. He created the EPA and he signed the Clean Air Act.
The great question of the 70s is, shall we surrender to our surroundings? Or shall we make our peace with nature and begin to make reparations for the damage we have done to our air, to our land, and to our water?
And that law has meant, over the decades, much cleaner air. But in the last few years, wildfire smoke has really threatened that progress. And that's according to a recent study published in the journal Nature. It shows pollution from wildfire smoke has rolled back the clean air advances made over the past few decades. It's particularly bad here in California and in other Western states. Marshall Burke is lead author of the study. He's a professor of sustainability at Stanford University. Welcome.
Thanks, Madeline. Good to be here.
So the Clean Air Act made lots of progress over the decades. It cleaned up our air. It got rid of lead, for one thing. And that was floating around, especially here in Southern California, from leaded gasoline. So what did you find in your study?
In our study, we found that wildfires are rapidly eroding progress in improving air quality that had been made over the last few decades, thanks largely to the Clean Air Act. And we found that wildfires just in the last 5 to 6 years are eroding on average a quarter of the progress we had made over multiple decades. And in some states, California, it's a third of the progress. And in some states in the West, it's 50% of the progress. So wildfires are rapidly eroding the progress we had made in improving air quality since the Clean Air Act was passed.
Air pollution is made up of lots of different contaminants. How did you tease out the effects of wildfire smoke?
That's right. There are a lot of air pollutants that we worry about. In this study, we focused on particulate matter, PM2.5. 2.5 is the width. These are the really small particles that get down into your lungs and cross into your bloodstream and cause a lot of negative health impacts.
Well, okay, so PM, I assume, is particulate matter, 2.5. Is that right?
That's correct. PM, yes, the particulate matter.
And 2.5 is 2.5 microns?
2.5 is 2.5 microns. So that's, it's 1/30th of the width of a human hair. So these are very, very small particles.
Oh my gosh. And so what can they do once they embed themselves in the lungs?
So they really cause trouble because they can cross into the bloodstream and they cause an inflammatory response throughout the body. And that has a cascade of negative health impacts. Initially, respiratory impacts because you're breathing them in, but cardiovascular impacts. People have now measured negative cognitive impacts, just really a vast array of negative health consequences from these tiny particles coursing through your body.
So they can cause heart attacks and strokes.
That's correct.
Wow. So when you compare wildfire smoke to other pollutants, like, I don't know, lead in the air. We used to have a lot of lead in the air when we had leaded gasoline or, you know, belching smokestacks. How does it compare?
That's right. So again, our air quality used to be much worse. We have made a ton of progress. And even though wildfires are beginning to erode this progress, we are nowhere near back to, you know, back to 2 or 3 decades ago or 4 decades ago when air was really bad. And it's really an open question as to the exact metals and other toxic chemicals that could be in wildfire smoke. That's an ongoing area of research. Our best estimates, though, are that particulate matter from wildfires are at least as bad as the other sources we're unfortunately more used to. So think of this as another bad source of air pollution that has negative consequences for human health.
And you didn't take into consideration the Canadian wildfires, right? The study used data from before then.
That's correct. We don't have data from 2023. So especially on the East Coast and in the Midwest, it was a historic year of wildfire smoke exposure. Basically, none of that smoke came from wildfires in the U.S. It was all from Canadian wildfires. 2023 is not in our data. We only study through 2022. And if anything, unfortunately, the events of 2023 will make our results even stronger in terms of the growing influence of wildfire smoke. So we actually didn't get a lot of the Canadian wildfire smoke in California, which is great. But, you know, our results would suggest that, you know, if not this year, we're likely to see more smoke in future years.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the possible solutions? We're going to see more wildfires. There's global climate change contributing to that. What can we do to try to mitigate that risk?
There are a few important solutions. As you mentioned, climate change is one of the important causes of the growth in wildfire activity and growth in wildfire smoke. The other main cause is the fact that we've been putting out fires for the last century instead of letting them burn as they used to. That's led to an accumulation of fuels in our forests. And so when you get a lot of fuel in the forests, you get warming temperatures and drying conditions. This leads to extreme wildfires like we've seen before. So it's a combination of a warming climate and a century of fire suppression. So what can we do? Number one, we can slow the warming of the climate. As we know, that's a challenging problem that will take decades to solve. We can't do that in California alone. It's a global challenge. But there are other things we can do locally. So we need to think about the fuels that are in our forests. We need to do what we call fuels management. And that can be done in different ways. It can be done through physical removal of the fuels. It can be done through prescribed fire, or what we call good fire, putting low intensity fire on the ground and burning up some of that accumulated fuel in a low intensity way. That will reduce the likelihood of extreme fires. And lastly, we need to figure out how to protect ourselves when we get wildfire events that we've unfortunately seen a lot more of. How do we make sure we have clean air to breathe in our houses, in our schools, in our places of work? And that's really important. We are not there yet on having great clean indoor air.
But wouldn't prescribed burns make the matter worse, at least in the short term?
Yeah, that's a great question. So most of the scientific evidence suggests that prescribed burns release a lot less smoke. So the whole idea with prescribed burns is to have low intensity fire that doesn't burn entire trees, but burns up the leaf litter, the shrubs, the accumulated wood that are on the ground. If you burn that in a low intensity way, you're burning less fuel and thus producing less smoke. And again, research has shown if you do that, it reduces the likelihood of the really extreme wildfires that burn everything and generate a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of protecting ourselves, that means staying indoors when there are fires around. What else?
Staying indoors is certainly helpful, but it's not sufficient. It turns out smoke can get into our houses, especially in our California houses, which tend to be not that well sealed,
right?
Because of our mild climate. What helps and what is needed is indoor filtration. And that can be portable filtration. It can be filtration attached to air conditioning or central air. And when right-sized, when you have filters that are large enough for the room that they're in, these can be remarkably effective in improving air quality.
So during COVID, a lot of places put in air filtration systems. Schools did. Will those be helpful?
They're absolutely helpful. So air filtration has multiple benefits. One is the benefit for air pollution. The other is the benefit for virus particles, which we didn't used to think about that much, right? But now we think about a lot more. And good, high-quality air filtration will solve both of those problems. And it's true that we have made some progress in installing that in schools, but a lot of schools have not made sufficient progress. And certainly we see in people's homes that that progress is nowhere near complete.
What about wearing a mask? You know, you wear a mask to protect against COVID. What about to protect against air pollution? Is it the same filtration system?
Yeah, exactly. Wearing a well-fitting N95 mask, and again, we all know what those are now, that works against COVID. It also works against wildfire smoke. People don't want to wear masks all the time. Most of us don't. We get tired of it. I totally get that. People don't like wearing them in their homes, again, and for understandable reasons. So my guess is that we will also need other filtration technologies to solve this problem.
Marshall Burke, author of the study published in the journal Nature that looks at air quality and wildfire smoke. He's also a professor of sustainability at Stanford University. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, how chemicals in wildfire smoke are affecting the taste of wine.
When they get actually released during the winemaking process, they can cause smoky aromas as well as that really ashtray-like aftertaste when you swallow the wine.
Yum. That's next on Press Play.